What are the Bills' plans at receiver now that Stephon Diggs is in Houston? Is Rashee Rice a sell in Dynasty Fantasy Football Leagues right now? And what numbers should you expect from Deshaun Watson in Cleveland for 2024? Plus, six-time FFPC Dynasty League champion Scott Cohen drops in to talk a little bit about Anthony Richardson, J.K. Dobbins, Jonathan Brooks, and so much more. We've got a great show for you. Farrell Elliott is here. I'm Eric Balkman. Stick around. Your high-stakes fantasy football hour starts now.
Can't stand the pressure. I've seen greater men than me.
Broadcast live and heard around the world, you are now watching the most entertaining hour of radio on the planet. Welcome to the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour presented by MyFFPC.com with your hosts Eric Balkman and Farrell Elliott. The High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour is your home for analysis from the best players in the world. And now, because no one else was available, here are Eric Balkman and Farrell Elliott.
Silence in the scripture. Are we not all our father's sons? I became a man nobody ever told me what a man was.
Thank you, Rob, and greetings and salutations to all of you Balkaholics and Farrelliacs. Welcome to the latest episode of the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour presented by MyFFPC.com, MyFFPC.com, the Fantasy Football Players Championship. I'm your slightly above average host, Eric Balkman. My co-host is the definitive commissioner of fantasy football, Farrell Elliott. Before I tell you what's going on tonight's show, let's tell you about all the great things we got going on with the FFPC right now. Number one, Empire Leagues are here, and they are spectacular, according to many of our players who have already signed up for them. Now, Empire Leagues are a version of Dynasty Fantasy Football Leagues, but 50% of the annual prizes are going to go to the league's Empire pot in the Empire Leagues. Any team that wins, or the first team that wins 2 years in a row, is going to take down the Empire and the Empire pot, right? So if you want to play and you feel like you can win back-to-back years, this is hugely lucrative and financially beneficial if you can do that. And oh, by the way, after that happens, then the league is disbanded and everybody who started with that league will get their deposit back in this. So check that out, myffpc.com. If you want to adopt a dynasty orphan or check out the other dynasty leagues we have going on for startup drafts, MyFFPC.com is where to go. Numerous squads have had their 2024 entry fees lowered, some as little as $1. So you're basically getting a free year if you want to play in those Dynasty Orphans. MyFFPC.com is where to go for that. The Never Too Early Best Ball Tournaments, I checked today. Both tournaments, both the Classic and the Superflex, are nearly 85% full. And remember, these are only slated to go until April 25th, and then we will shut down registration. They will stop before the NFL draft starts. So if you want to win $25,000 or a $10,000 grand prize for as little as $125 or a $35 entry fee, myffpc.com is where to go for that. 30-second, 60-second, 2-hour, 6-hour clocks available over at myffpc.com. Last thing I'll mention, Fantasy Pros Championship. Once again, a $1 million grand prize in a $6 million grand prize pool. You don't have to wait until June or May or July or August or September to draft. You can draft for $1 million right now at myffpc.com. MyFFPC.com is where to go for that. Remember to like this video, subscribe to the channel, comment on the video, share it with your friends and enemies, and get notified every time we go live. Hudson Kern Reeve piping in into the chat right now. Is this live? Yes, it is live. Anytime we have an Ivy League professor, we're thrilled to have him on. So we are fantastically celebrating the return of Hudson Kern Reeve to the live chat right now. Welcome back, Prof. And we will welcome in the co-host with the most, the definitive commissioner of fantasy football. Check out the Kentucky Fantasy Football State Championship over at kffsc.com. He's the commissioner, the definitive commissioner of fantasy football, one Farrell Elliott. Farrell, welcome in, man.
Hi, buddy. This start time is too close to happy hour. And I didn't. So we might have all kinds of fun tonight. Who knows? You know, Hudson Kern Reeve being in the room is great. He plans on coming to Kentucky this year, by the way.
I can't wait to see him. I did see him in Kentucky 1 year, and it was one of the best years of Kentucky ever.
You know, he looks good.
Yes,
he's a romance and spring, and you know, he's in top of his form right now. He's doing some really great research. We really need to get him on the show and talk about some of the wonderful things he's doing.
Well, you know, Kern is he studies insects, right? And yeah. I would love to get him on for a study of beehive management, as well as what it means for Noah Brown now that Stephon Diggs is in Houston. I think that would be a great combo episode that nobody is doing anywhere in fantasy football. I think that'd be a lot of fun.
Now he's creating rumors that are unsupported.
Yes, exactly. All right, so let's do this, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, number one, thank you for tuning in early tonight. As according to my facts and figures in front of me, so many of you people have tuned in early, which is fantastic. Let's bring in our guest early tonight as well. This is a guy who has won six FFPC Dynasty Leagues in 2023 alone, and he's here to help us sort out the veterans, the rookies, everything that we have going on tonight. We want to welcome him in right now. One, Scott R. Cohen. Scott, welcome in. Thank you so much for coming on the show tonight. We're very excited to talk fantasy with you. How are you doing?
Thanks for having me. I'm doing good. Just had a few earthquakes today out here in New Jersey, but other than that, it's the normal day.
Just a normal day for Jersey.
So I'm in Wisconsin, Farrell's in Kentucky. Did you feel, because I know people in New York, some people didn't notice it, but you felt it, right?
I think my daughter and I were the only two people that didn't feel it today.
Oh, really?
Yeah, my wife texted me, like, did you feel the earthquake? I'm like, huh?
Were you at home? Were you at work? What were you doing happened?
I was in the basement of a large building. So yeah, it was okay. Underground. So basically, there you go. And then the second one, it was like 2 hours ago. My wife said, did you just feel that? I'm like, huh? No, I missed them both. I don't know.
4.7 will get the chandeliers moving, and if you have a dog, the dog will look at you funny.
My wife said it lasted about 15 seconds, but I was underground, so I didn't feel it.
Well, I'm glad you're safe, and I'm so glad that you can hop on tonight with us, Scott. This is going to be a lot of fun. Obviously, a guy who has won numerous leagues last year. Do you have anything, like, Scott, let me ask you this. Six league championships in the dynasty level last year. Do you attribute that to anything specific, or was this just sort of like, look, this is what I do. I win leagues. Was there anything different for you last year?
No, I mean, first of all, anybody who's won a league will tell you there's a lot of luck involved as well. To be honest with you, all those teams I had bought that year off Dynasty Depot. And I remember I went back and added up. I spent, I think it was $1,180 on those six teams. Mm-hmm. So and each of the ones that I wanted also was a one or two seed, so there were some good investments. So you know, I look for teams that I can win. I've drafted obviously many others, but you look for a team that can win. But it's you know, I mean, who predicted Aaron Rodgers would get hurt on the fourth play last year? I mean, he killed Garrett.
I had the sixth play.
Garrett Wilson. You know, I had a ton of shares of him in other leagues. So, you know, you watch him each week. You'd pray he'd get you 15 points. You know, with Zach Wilson. So nobody out there can say they're a certified expert at this, because if you were, you'd win every league every year. It's definitely, there's people that I think that are better than others at this, but it takes luck, injuries. You know, luck and injuries to me is like a third of dynasty football, honestly.
Scott, are you a Jets fan, or where does your fandom lie?
So it's really bizarre. I actually live in New Jersey. Mm-hmm. I've been married twice. Both my wives, when I met them, were Cowboys fans, and I'm actually a Cowboys. I am a Cowboys fan, actually. And honestly, if you want to hear the even funnier story, I live in New Jersey. His house is like worth three times more than mine, but my neighbor is Devontae Smith. Mm-hmm. So I have an Eagles fan as a neighbor. So go figure that one too, because we you know, I'm like 8 miles from Philly.
This is okay. So this is really good. I'm glad to hear that you're a Cowboys fan. Because we are going to get into a lot of stuff tonight, guys, including Jonathan Brooks potentially going to the Cowboys. Even if Brooks doesn't go to the Cowboys, we're going to talk about that Cowboys running back situation as it pertains to fantasy. Let's lead things off with the elephant in the room and something that really hit me like a ton of bricks. I don't know how you guys feel about it, but Adam Schefter reported that the Texans traded the Bills traded Stephon Diggs to the Houston Texans, and the Texans since then have removed the final 3 years of his contract after this year, making him eligible for free agency after this season. In addition to the $3.5 million that he was guaranteed next year, they're going to take that and put that onto his 2024 salary. So he is making $22.5 million plus guaranteed money. He turns, or he is 30 years old right now, and he was under contract through 2027. That's not going to happen anymore. He is going to be a free agent after this year. So this is basically a one-year deal, guys. The Texans ended up giving up a couple of draft, or excuse me, the Bills ended up giving up Diggs and a couple of draft picks in exchange for a second round pick. This could be it for, I mean, it could be Diggs one and done in Houston. Farrell, I'm going to throw this to you first. Let's talk about the Houston angle for this. Diggs, who has been a target monster, one of only four players in NFL history to have four consecutive years of 100 plus catches. He goes to a team with ascendant CJ Stroud, Joe Mixon in the backfield, who we'll get into later on in the show, Dalton Schultz, and then the two big guys there, Tank Dell and Nico Collins. Can you kind of enlighten us on how you're handling Houston Texans in your drafts now, knowing that Diggs is going to be there to take some targets away from Schultz, Collins, and Dell?
I'm going to elevate the quarterback, obviously. I'm going to continue to take Dell where I've been taking him, and I'm going to love the fact that people will sour on Collins, who is a fantastic ball player and I can now get later. The running back there speaks volumes for what he's going to be able to do. And with all those things that Diggs brings to the Texans, if I'm working in that front office, I wouldn't have done it. I think the culture of the general manager and the head coach think that they can come in and influence this player to be the type of contributor. And, gosh, he's a great contributor on the field. But, you know, in the NFL, you play football 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I don't want this guy yelling at my young quarterback and things like that. So I really am in a wait and see approach. But from a fantasy standpoint, I'm not particularly concerned. Diggs is going to make a big contribution. So the quarterback is going to throw the ball 120 more times than he did last year. Over 18 games, 17 games, you're the mathematical professional there, the genius of the mathematical Eric can figure that out. But you know, he's gonna throw the ball five or six more times a game, and that's good enough for everybody.
That is the Texans side of it. Scott, let's throw it to you for the Bills side. And I know we exchanged a few emails about this. You know, Diggs was really good the first month and a half of last year, and then he fell off the face of the earth. The Bills are gonna have the tight end combo of Kincaid and Knox. They brought in Mac Hollins. They brought in Curtis Samuel, and they still have Khalil Shakir here. Can you enlighten us on how you are viewing the Bills pass catchers with Josh Allen, but now without Stephon Diggs?
Yeah, I mean, I think you definitely have to elevate Dalton Kincaid a lot. I mean, I think he becomes a top three. Honestly, I think he becomes a top three dynasty tight end, to be honest with you, and obviously in daily fantasy as well. I mean, typically, the first year for any tight end is difficult, no matter who you are. And he did pretty well last year. He came on at the end, and obviously when Knox was in there, it hurt him because he wasn't playing as much. But when you looked at the games that Knox was out, I thought Kincaid did very well. Mm-hmm. I definitely think he went a notch or two up on the dynasty ladder. I think it hurts Josh Allen. I think short term, there's no doubt that they're going to draft a wide receiver, but will that wide receiver be any good? And what round are they going to pick him in? You know, going up to even Burks on Tennessee, like everybody was hot for him last year. And this year he was dropped in like half the leagues at cutdowns. So are they going to draft a wide receiver? Will the wide receiver be any good? If they can draft a wide receiver who will be good, then Josh Allen was right back to where he was as I think he was the QB1 as I was concerned.
Yeah.
As of last week. So is he still the QB1 in Dynasty? I'm not sure. But if he's not, he's two or three. So that other receiver, how that receiver will do will depend, because I definitely think that he's not going to run as much as he did. So I think it hurts Allen short term. I think it elevates Kincaid. Knox to me is really, you know, not really worth that much. And we'll see about Samuel. I think he's definitely the wild card in all this. He did pretty good in several games last year for the Commanders. And he's still relatively young. He could definitely be a sleeper pick this year.
Yeah, and Scott, I'm with you on the Samuel thing. This is a guy that, you know, I'm looking at the Never Too Early Best Ball data right now on FantasyMojo.com. And by the way, if you have a subscription to Fantasy Mojo and you play in the FFPC, you're doing it right. I highly encourage everybody to subscribe to FantasyMojo.com. Darren Armani, the godfather of the fantasy pros, or excuse me, the pros versus Joes championship. Make sure that you are subscribing there. Curtis Samuel, wide receiver 55 in the 12th round. Now, he's still going to go up from there, but I think that's a great buy for anybody who is drafting early. I love the Samuel pick. I love the Kincaid analysis, too. I think he is going to skyrocket. The Josh Allen thing, I think you're right on. I don't think everybody has him as their number one quarterback in Dynasty, but I think everybody has him as a top three quarterback in Dynasty. And because of his legs, he's still going to stay up there as well. I think that's what's so compelling about the Bills offense this year. A lot of people are saying, oh, they're rebuilding. Yeah, you don't rebuild when you have Josh Allen on your team. They're going to be okay. And I think there's ways to capitalize on this. Chargers running back, Cowboys running back, Bills receiver, as Scott alluded to, Farrell. These are three of the positions we are watching in the 2024 NFL draft. Now, we were going to be watching what the Chiefs were going to do in the draft with wide receiver until they signed Marquise Brown. And you think, okay, Kelsey, Marquise Brown, now you got Rashee Rice there too. This is great. And then Rashee Rice decided to race a Lamborghini with apparently some weed in it, which is not great. Not great, Bob. I would never encourage any NFL player to do this. The latest we have on it, and I don't even know if this is, I don't know what who to trust. I've seen 10.8 grams of marijuana. I've seen 10.8 ounces of marijuana. I've seen 10.8 pounds of marijuana. Now, two of those three would be a felony in Texas, and that's really, really bad for Rashee Rice. But as it stands right now, we're still gathering information. And gathering information is a process that I think Dynasty players can capitalize on. Calvin Watkins said that Royce West, Rashee Rice's attorney, that he was driving this Lamborghini that was involved in the six-car pileup last Saturday that left four people with minor injuries. Let's talk a little bit about this. Farrell, we got a YouTube comment last week on the show. All this Rashee Rice love goes right out the window. And yeah, it did, because we found out about this the next day. Your thoughts on Rashee Rice in Dynasty right now? What should we be doing? Should we be buying, holding, selling?
I am in one of the empires, and if you're not, I think everybody should be. Scott, I bet you're already in every one of them. But, you know, he went today at the end of the fifth round, and I would have been tempted to pull the trigger, but there's little things that leak out about this that would make you push him further back, you know. We want to win this year, and availability is important. I don't know. I'm curious as to when the district attorney is going to make his move and file what he's going to file here, and at that point we'll know more. And I think that reports are that this may take some time to learn what the penalty is and perhaps what the attorney that appeared on television to advocate for his client Rice will do a good job in delaying this until some adjudication until after the season. And if that's the case, then Rice, the best place that Rice could be would be on the football field, because that's the place where he's going to escape his problems. But what a damn way to sidetrack a very, very promising. You know, everything was going right for this player. So it's a difficult thing to look at.
Scott, have you adjusted the way that you're handling or sending out trade offers for Marquise Brown or Rashee Rice right now based on this latest news?
Well, I mean, before this incident, for lack of a better word, I had a lot of shares of Marquise Brown. I sold off a few of them, but I really am high on him. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like, number one, anytime you're catching passes from Patrick Mahomes, it's a good thing.
Yep.
He does have a little bit of a drops issue. I get it. But if you look at the quality targets he's going to get, to me, that's going to be far outweighed by any inconsistencies he'll have. And honestly, even without Rice's issues, I really felt like Marquise Brown was really set up to even have a better year than Rice, to be honest with you. But as far as Dynasty goes, I think Rice, in the worst case scenario, is going to get suspended for maybe 1 to 3 games. I really don't think it really affects his Dynasty value that much at all. If you're doing redraft this year, yeah, maybe. But I also think, just like Farrell said, you know, it most likely any good attorney is going to try and get this pushed back to at least the end of the season. So I don't think it really hurts him at all this year. But I like Marquise Brown anyway. But and I don't think Rice will get suspended this year. But I think it's with the marijuana for sure. Yeah. It's definitely a criminal charge, felony or not. I don't know if that matters. It's not a domestic violence case. I don't see 6 games, but. Definitely 1 to 3 games. At some point in the future, So if it's next year, even if it's next year, which I agree with Farrell, I think it's a near certainty to be pushed back. It doesn't really affect his long-term dynasty value, I don't think.
I'm totally with you. You know, Theo Greminger was just on the Sonic Truth podcast, a player profiler podcast, and he said he ended up getting Rashee Rice for a second and a third rookie pick. Like, that's just insane to me that he was able to get that. Mm-hmm. So and so this is advice to all the FFPC Dynasty players that are watching this. Like, go out and make your offers for Rice because you might be able to hit the jackpot on getting him for a very low price. Currently in the Never Too Early Best Ball Tournament, Rashee Rice is in a glut of DJ Moore, Brandon Ayuk, Michael Pittman, Deebo Samuel, Stephon Diggs, Mike Evans, and Tank Dell, all going between the 305 and the 402 right now. I would imagine Rice is going to fall a little bit further, and I would imagine that if you like Rice, now is the time to strike, whether you're drafting in the Never Too Early Tournament, whether you're playing Dynasty, send out those offers for Rice, because I think come October or November, or even maybe even earlier than that, like Scott alluded to, it might be paying dividends for you for sure in that Kansas City offense. Scott, let's move on and talk about Cleveland here for a second. Mary Kay Cabot, who covers the Browns, said that Deshaun Watson told her he's going to be ready to play in week one. Now, he had season-ending shoulder surgery just before Thanksgiving last year. So you would imagine that he would be ready for week one. He has the highest base salary for anybody in the NFL right now, of any quarterback, I should say, in the NFL. And Kevin Stefanski says that Watson, he's comfortable where he is. He's right where he needs to be in his recovery. Now, Watson is going to have the benefit not only of a healthy Nick Chubb, we think, coming up on the on the start of the season, but he's also going to have Jerry Jeudy to go with Elijah Moore and Amari Cooper and the resurgent David Njoku last year, who caught a lot of passes and a lot of touchdowns from Joe Flacco. The weapons are there. Deshaun Watson in the Never Too Early Best Ball Tournament right now, Scott, is not going until quarterback 22. Have you found that you can get some deals on him in Dynasty? And if you can, are you even looking to acquire Deshaun Watson right now, given how bad he was on the field last year?
Yeah, oddly enough, in I believe three of the leagues that I'm in, he was actually dropped at cutdowns. Personally, I'm not a huge fan of Deshaun Watson. If it was Deshaun Watson from, you know, 2019, he had to be a top five dynasty QB. I don't even think a healthy Deshaun Watson at 22 sounds about right. Mm. I mean, even when he was healthy last year, he had weapons. He just wasn't doing very good. You see Joe Flacco come in, and Njoku becomes tight end one, and Amari Cooper. You know, I mean, Deshaun Watson. Really, quarterbacks generally, you know, we saw Russell Wilson do it recently, but generally quarterbacks don't fall from grace that quickly. Mm-hmm. But to me, Deshaun Watson, if I could buy him very cheap, I would. Like I said, he was dropping a few leagues. I might draft him in like the third or fourth round in the rookie drafts, but I'm not really big on Deshaun Watson. I honestly feel like if you're a Cooper or a Njoku owner, you're hoping he gets hurt and just whoever backs him up does better, because he's just not a top flight quarterback anymore. It's bizarre what happened to him, whatever happened to him.
When you miss all that time, skill sets can erode, and it seems to be difficult between his ears more than what is going on the field. I root for the player, and I hope he can do very well. He's certainly getting paid to do very well. So.
They're stuck with him. I mean, they can't do anything.
Let's hope that he can step back up and regain some of it. But at 22, I think that's quite a bargain. You could risk on other quarterbacks. You could make fruitless risk on other quarterbacks when this guy could deliver.
You know, yeah, people are going to be bending over backwards to like, and I'll just use this as an example as far as Deshaun Watson goes. He is going right next to Baker Mayfield and Drake May. He is going right next to Derek Carr. Actually, he's going ahead of Derek Carr and Will Levis. There's going to be players that people are going to be drafting Aaron Rodgers and Jaden Daniels and Matthew Stafford, and it's not going to be close, and they will let Deshaun Watson slip. Now, as far as best ball goes, if you're a volume drafter in best ball, yeah, you should have some shares with Deshaun Watson. If you are a volume dynasty player, I think that there is a reason to go out and grab him on the cheap if you can, and I think you can right now. That is my thoughts on that AFC North team's offense. Let's go to a different AFC North team's offense featuring Derrick Henry. Farrell, I'm going to throw this to you first. John Harbaugh said that the offense in 2024 is not going to be reliant on RPOs. quote from Harbaugh. I think we're in the right place with our RPOs. I don't think it's something that we're going to like. I don't think we're going to like to go wholesale towards, because Lamar has got so many different ways he plays the game. And there are other things we like to do, to be honest with you. I don't see us going to a specific offense that runs those more than anybody else. RPOs will be a part of what we're doing for sure, but they're not going to be the main part of what we're doing. You think about what Lamar Jackson's been able to do for players like Gus Edwards, J.K. Dobbins over the years, and now Derrick Henry, a future Hall of Famer, is going to be the lead running back in that backfield. If you look at the Never Too Early Best Ball Tournament right now, Derrick Henry is RB11. At the 304, you can get him in the mid third round right now, Farrell, which means that you can get him much cheaper than that in Dynasty. Is there a path to fantasy greatness and championships by trading for Derrick Henry in Dynasty drafts and drafting him, quote unquote, on the cheap right now in the Never Too Early Best Ball Tournament, because he might have a really, really big season playing behind Lamar Jackson?
I'm going to answer that question one way, as opposed to Harbaugh, who answered his question three ways. There's three different ways that he gave an answer to there. He's as slippery as they come. You got to love it, Harlow. He's genetically inclined to be that way. Yes, I would love to draft Henry. I don't want to overpay for him. I'm doing a strategy in the Empire right now where I'm building with young receivers and older running backs, and he's still on the board, and hopefully I can get him cheap. So, yes, that's my move, is to get this player on this team, because I've, you know, to me, Derrick Henry has proven that he's still a little bit ageless, you know, and some of these rookie running backs that come into the league, some of these younger backs, I don't know when they're going to hit the wall. I haven't seen Derrick Henry's wall yet.
What about you, Scott, when you look at this Derrick Henry thing, like me as a dynasty player, I'm like, God, I don't really know if I want to invest in him, but I also understand that at the end of the 2024 season, I could be kicking myself if I didn't get Derrick Henry on the cheap, which I think he's going at right now, given his age and his workload. How do you feel about Derrick Henry in Dynasty? What have you been doing?
Yeah, I mean, if I'm a Dynasty player and I'm trying to win this year, I'm trying to buy Derrick Henry everywhere I can. I mean, to me, as of, you know, today, April 5th, 2024, to me, he's going to be the Raheem Mostert of next season. I mean, look at the average running backs, what they've done on Baltimore. And you're talking about one of the greatest running backs of all time, honestly. He has to be a top 10 of all time. If he can just be as healthy as he's been, how many touchdowns do you think he can score? I mean, to me, 20 would be like not too far, you know, out to think about it. I mean,
coach might leave him on the field, Scott, when they're in the red zone. That would be my first move. I'm leaving him on the field. He's not going to stand beside me on the sideline.
I don't really think the RPO is a big deal, because that's really not Derrick Henry's thing. I mean, Derrick Henry's hand him the ball and he just mows you over. So I don't really, to me, it doesn't matter what Harbaugh says about RPOs. We're going to hand Derrick Henry the ball and he's going to run really hard and he's going to run people over and he's going to score a lot of touchdowns for this team. That's all I would really care about.
Yeah, you think about who was getting goal line last year. A ton of it was Gus Edwards. He's in Los Angeles now, and Derrick Henry could be labeled for a lot of that, right? I continue to think, like you guys are saying, he is underrated both in Dynasty and Redraft, and I think that's what people should be taking a long look at if they plan on winning championships in their Dynasty leagues or in their best ball leagues going forward this season. Scott just mentioned Raheem Mostert. Scott, let's kick you over on this Mostert versus – not versus Achan thought, but Mostert – ends up signing a one-year extension with the Dolphins. He's going to be 32 before he takes a regular season snap in 2024. He's going to make $5.5 million in his deal. Now, I said, actually, Farrell, last night on the High Stakes Fantasy Football Show with Stacey Perez from Fantasy and Frames, a spokeswoman.
A redhead.
A redhead and a spokesperson for the Kentucky Fantasy Football State Championship. We were talking about this, and I said, look, I think this is great news, not only for Mostert to play next to Achan, it's great news for Achan to play next to Mostert. I think that this is a mutually beneficial thing. Now, Achan is going in the mid-second. Mostert is going in the mid-eighth. Scott, give me your thoughts on Mostert and Achan this year. How do you feel about them for this year? And how do you feel, again, we talked about Derrick Henry, if you're in a win-now window. How do you feel about Raheem Mostert if you're a dynasty player in a win-now window, acquiring Mostert on the cheap from a team that maybe doesn't have long-term plans for him?
Yeah, to me, I mean, Mostert, you know, he had a great year last year, maybe the best, you know, of any running back in fantasy football. But, I mean, he was definitely a lot more injury-prone than Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry, I don't even know if he's ever missed more than one game in a season. So if I'm the Dolphins, I really did that probably because we're saying to Raheem Mostert, we're going to ride you again this year a lot, and we're just going to pray that you stay healthy. As long as he can stay healthy, it's definitely a dangerous backfield duo, and I still would be buying shares of Mostert, but you just have to be concerned. You know, can he just stay healthy for the year? But if he can, don't think he'll duplicate 20 touchdowns, but I think on that offense, 12 is like a floor to me.
You know, Mostert has never been defeated by anything other than his own body. And he continues to be one of the fastest players in the league. And he's continued to contribute big numbers around talented teammates. So that's what he's got at Miami. That's what he had in the 49ers. And Scott's dead on. There's enough carries for both these guys back there.
Farrell, let me lob this to you first. And Scott, I want you to weigh in on this Packers wide receiver situation. But Matt LaFleur, and I apologize if I brought this up on the show before, but Matt LaFleur said that Christian Watson has worked with a special lab to address his hamstring injuries and his soft tissue injuries that he's had. Adam Levitan from Established Report, Established the Run, had this report on him. Watson is interesting because he didn't necessarily have a history of it in college, but since he has been with Green Bay, he's had a lot of soft tissue injuries. Now, they sent him down to Madison, Wisconsin, which has a lot of equipment, a lot of doctors that specialize in this type of thing. Oh, Christian Watson, I've said this on a couple of shows now, Christian Watson's dad on Twitter has said already that the doctors who are working with Watson down there did find something. And there is a treatment plan that is already underway to make sure that Watson remains healthy going forward, or as healthy as he can be. When he's healthy, man, he is great. We talk about his touchdown percentage, his touchdown reception percentage. It's among the elite in the NFL right now. He had 422 yards, 5 touchdowns last year, but that was just in 9 games. That's basically half the season. You extrapolate that, you're looking at almost 900 yards and 10 touchdowns. He is awesome when he's healthy. The problem is he needs to be healthy. So let me pitch this to you, Farrell, right away. Okay. Christian Watson is basically going 2 rounds behind Jaden Reed in the Never Too Early Best Ball tournament right now. How do you feel about these guys? Let's talk about redraft and Dynasty. Jaden Reed versus Christian Watson. To me, this is encouraging news about Watson, but I've always said I need to see it to believe it. And if that puts me behind the eight ball and I miss out on Watson, so be it. But I need to see it first before I want to acquire him.
Well, I knew the reason that you brought this up is you wanted to talk about Jaden Reed. I don't know why we just don't talk about Jaden Reed, you know. But anyway, the lab in Madison is a cover. He's actually in what was formerly known as East Germany at a lab there, where then the father is doing a great job. Everybody needs just to be quiet about this guy and let him get healthy. But, you know, I believe that we will find out that the new guy playing James Bond, what is it, Aaron Taylor Johnson.
Is that official? I don't know if that's official yet.
The guy who runs this lab will eventually be a Bond villain, and Aaron Taylor Johnson. But in the meantime, Watson, it's somewhere over in East Germany. That's where Watson is. It's NFL Europe all over again, just in East Germany. They're going to get him healthy. And then your Jaden Reed won't get to play because of East German precision in the healthcare of Watson. And the coach needs to just say, you know what, that's in the hand of the doctors and the athletic staff, and we hope to have him by camp. We hope to have him by season. And Jaden Reed's the number one Packer receiver. Don't you agree, Scott? Because that's who we really want to talk about.
Yeah, I mean, if there's a special lab, I think they need to send like Mike Williams and Darren Waller there, because you know, if that could just fix every player, we wouldn't have any injuries in fantasy football.
Yeah, I mean, well, this is a special thing. This is only available for Green Bay.
If there's a special lab, can we send some other players there? I mean,
no, Green Bay only.
Yeah, Christian Watson is super talented. There's no doubt. If he can just stay healthy, to be honest with you, you know, I disagree with you, Farrell. If he can stay healthy, I think he's better than Jaden Reed.
I mean, don't say that in front of Balky though.
Well, okay,
he's more explosive, but he can't stay healthy. But I mean, if he could, that would be great. The problem, I think Jordan Love is a superstar. I think he actually is probably a little too low on the dynasty rankings. I think he should be 6th or 7th at worst, a dynasty, because he has a great offensive coach. He's already shown he's a superstar. He has great receivers. Now he has an amazing running back behind him. What is there not to love about Jordan Love? And he stays healthy, at least so far. He's never missed a game.
Yeah, I think he's stealing the draft right now, Scott.
Yeah, he should be above Joe Burrow. He should be above Justin Herbert, in my opinion. He's phenomenal. But Watson, I do like Watson. I just wish he could stay healthy. The special lab can help him. But unfortunately, there's just some people that play football, which we don't, that just can't stay healthy for whatever reason. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Like, you know, even Keenan Allen, he would love to see him play 17 games this year, but he seems to always get hurt. So if this special lab works, we have to definitely send more football players there for sure.
To Scott's point about Watson and Farrell, if I misled you, I apologize. I do believe at the peak of their powers, Watson is a better wide receiver than Jaden Reed. However, I think it is easier, significantly easier, it seems, for Jaden Reed to get to the peak of his powers than Christian Watson. So,
and I don't think it matters because they're both going to be huge fantasy football contributors because of the quarterback, because of the team around them, and yeah, because of good health. So I'm with it.
And that's the thing, guys. If we look at the ADP in the Never Too Early Best Ball Tournament right now for Packers wide receivers, and this is excluding like the Luke Musgrave, Dontayvion Wicks, Tucker Kraft discussion, who I also think are very capable of putting up big numbers given the opportunity. Jaden Reed is wide receiver 34 at the 608. Christian Watson, wide receiver 43 at the 810. So Watson is going two full rounds after Jaden Reed, and he's being drafted as a number four wide receiver. So if you are in a Fantasy Pros Championship draft, a Never Too Early Best Ball Tournament draft, Watson, to me, would make a little bit more sense than Jaden Reed. That said, if you're in a closed 12-team league, I'm taking Reed every single time over Watson. And I think both of those guys are going to be good this year, but Watson, to me, has the higher ceiling of the two. Let's go to the YouTube chat right now. Michael Esri is popping in there. He's in a Dynasty Startup draft currently. He has Patrick Mahomes. He has Justin Herbert on his team right now. So now he's wondering, at the 606, should he take, I'm assuming this is Jaden Daniels over T. Higgins. Jaden Daniels has fallen. I'm assuming, am I reading this right, Farrell? Do you also think that it's Jaden Daniels he's talking about here?
I don't know, but I suppose so, yeah.
Okay, so let's roll with that. Scott, I'll throw it to you. Jaden Daniels over T. Higgins at the 606 when you already have Mahomes and Herbert, how would you weigh in on that?
I would rather have T. Higgins. I mean, you know, Mahomes, the thing about Patrick Mahomes is that when you look at any of it, you're never going to bench him in any game. Mm-hmm. So you should be starting Patrick Mahomes every week unless he's injured or unless he's off. So Herbert, I do love Justin Herbert. Like I said, I just love more. Jaden Daniels definitely could have some better upside with the running. But I think you're very well set at quarterback with, you know, at worst case scenario, the number two or three dynasty quarterback. So I would take Higgins in that spot if that were me.
Let's go to another question from Hudson Kern-Reeve. Farrell, I'm going to throw this to you. Balky, who is the Green Bay tight end to really target? For me, it's Luke Musgrave. They drafted him a full round ahead of Tucker Kraft last year. Musgrave consistently played ahead of Tucker Kraft when Musgrave was healthy last year. So I'm targeting Luke Musgrave here if I want a Green Bay tight end. The thing is, these guys are both going late. Musgrave is tight end 17. Tucker Kraft is tight end 24. And they're basically going in the mid-10th and the end of the 14th round. I like Musgrave better, and I'm willing to pay that price. How do you feel about it?
Exactly the same way, Balky, and I'm glad to see you've come over to my side. Even though I know your Kraft is a middle of the field guy, they've both got serviceability to an NFL team. Musgrave has the highest traditional tight end future. This goes back to when we're considering drafting rookies now. In the startup dynasties, as opposed to after the draft, the landing spot is so important. And I didn't care for Musgrave's landing spot as much as I would have liked him in other places. So, yeah.
Guys, we only have about 20 minutes left in the show. We haven't really talked about rookies at all. So, Scott, yeah. I want to pitch this to you right away, given that you will be drafting in numerous rookie drafts coming up in a little bit, too many, over a month.
Many.
Yeah,
exactly.
No way.
Rome Odunze, according to Jordan Schultz from Bleacher Report, is actually going to meet with the Arizona Cardinals. And I think this is interesting because the Cardinals have the 104 pick right now. They're not taking Odunze there. However, if they do decide to trade out of that pick, maybe to Minnesota, maybe to Denver, or anybody who's interested in JJ McCarthy. They could trade down to the back end of the top 10, or maybe you know, the front end of the teens where Rome Odunze could be available. Now, Odunze has already met with the Bears, who have the 9th pick, and the Jets, who I believe have the 10th pick here. He is going to be speaking with the Cardinals now. I think this is interesting because Odunze is – okay, let me bring it back. If we were going to take Rome Odunze, Marvin Harrison Jr., and Malik Nabers, I think, guys, personally, if they were in last year's draft, all three of those guys would have been drafted ahead of Jaxon Smith-Njigba. So this is a huge thing this year when we consider the talent. Scott, how do you feel about Rome Odunze and the fact that he's meeting with the Cardinals? Where is if he is drafted by the Cardinals, man, he's their number one target going forward. If he's drafted by the Bears, he's not their number one target. They already have Keenan Allen and DJ Moore. If he's drafted by the Jets, he's not their number one target because they already have Garrett Wilson. But Odunze with the Cardinals, this is juicy. How do you feel about him at the next level, Scott?
Definitely extremely talented. Definitely have seen in the dynasty leagues, you know, most people, at least definitely me, I think the top four are pretty solid and sold. And I've gotten offers for – I had a guy last week say he offered me a small late pick to switch 1-4 and 1-5. And he's like, it's just one spot. But that one spot is different, is major, because you got Harrison Nabers. I've nicknamed him Romeo. When I talk about Odunze, I just say Romeo because it's Rome and the O. Just like I honestly feel like I named CMC CMC. I honestly thought I was saying Romeo. So I'm right now saying if you're talking about Odunze, just say Romeo. But he's definitely he is just as talented. He's almost just as talented as the other two. So like anywhere else in Dynasty, it's landing spot. But as far like Jaxon Smith-Njigba, to me, he's a superstar, but he's stuck behind DK Metcalf. So I don't necessarily agree with that comparison. I think he's a little more talented than maybe Romeo, maybe not Nabers or Harrison, but he's a stud. Like I said, if he goes to the Jets, he may not be picked four. You know, I don't know, because he's, you know, Garrett Wilson is a major superstar, a top seven dynasty overall player.
Yeah.
So whoever goes to the Cardinals will be a hot commodity, whoever that is. I think they're just interviewing him because I think that they ultimately might move down. So if they're picking at 9, 10, 11, 12, they would probably pick him there. But Nabers and Harrison, I don't think there's much difference besides maybe the name and the quality and the NFL stock, you know, the son of one of the greatest wide receivers also of all time, his dad. So I like Romeo a lot, just where he lands.
I think, and Farrell, I'm going to throw this to you here real quick on Odunze. I am with Scott mostly on this. I do think while all three of these guys here's my take on it, guys. The floor for all three of these guys, Harrison, Nabers, and Odunze, basically about even. I do think the ceiling for Nabers and for Harrison is negligibly higher than Odunze. I don't know if Odunze has that next level talent, that generational talent that I think Nabers and Harrison have. I think Odunze is going to be a number one receiver. I think he's going to be a number one receiver in the league for a long time. I don't know if he ever hits what I think Harrison and Nabers are going to hit. And that's why Odunze is number three firmly for me for rookie wide receivers. But it's also part of the reason why he is number three. And there is a deep yawning chasm between three and four for me this year, Odunze to Thomas. So I have Nabers and Harrison on their own tier. I have Odunze basically like a half tier below that, but then a massive drop off after that. Farrell, how do you view these top three receivers?
Interchangeable. And I might like this player better, Romeo, as Scott says. I think if he had played in a different college, the people might look at him differently. A scout told me that he's a bigger Chris Olave. And, you know, Chris Olave was my favorite receiver. And if that's the case, you know, what you might do is think about receivers that we're reminded of. You know, Harrison kind of reminds me of Pittman. Nabers kind of reminds a lot of scouts of Antonio Brown without some of the other stuff. These are players that in any other year, if you separate them, they're all the first receivers going off the board. So, you know, you can't go wrong. Then you wait for the landing spot. And, yeah, this is really good. And, you know, maybe I like Romeo because he's from Don Erickson's favorite town and the place where we will all gather at Planet Hollywood in September, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Yeah, Matt Kelly from Player Profiler said he is not calling him Roma Dunze. He is calling him, like Scott, as you said, Romeo Dunze, which sounds a lot better than Roma Dunze. I'm with you guys on this one for sure. As far as the name pronunciation goes, we have been talking receivers here. Let's shift to rookie running backs. Farrell, I'm going to pitch this to you first, and then Scott, I want you to weigh in. Blake Corum said that he is going to be visiting with the Los Angeles Chargers as part of their top 30 picks or the top 30 visits that they can have ahead of the 2024 draft. What's interesting about this? Well, the Chargers starting running back right now is Gus Edwards, who certainly doesn't wow anybody with his talent, especially given his age. But Blake Corum, if he was to go there, he would be playing for the college coach that he had been playing for his entire career in Jim Harbaugh. And he would have the opportunity to not only catch a lot of passes, but get a lot of carries in this offense as well. Jim Harbaugh wants to run the ball. And certainly if they're going to run the ball and they draft Corum, Corum is going to be a huge factor in that. Farrell, Stacy was talking to me last night how she loves Corum. Corum is her number one running back. I said, I don't know, Stacy. 5'8", 215. What's his ceiling? Farrell, what is his ceiling in the NFL when he gets to that next level? Not only at that size, but a guy who has been undersized his whole career, but been dominant in the Big Ten against the best defenses in the world. How do you feel about Blake Corum in the NFL?
I like that size. And man, if he went to the Chargers, you would know why. And they would give him every chance to succeed. Yeah. And you're going to get the touches. So, yeah, all of these running backs, what I tend to think about them this year, and as I'm my strategy with them, as I mentioned earlier, was to go young receiver and then pick up some of the older running backs. I don't want to get involved until I see the landing spot, because I don't think any of them have value until we know exactly what they're going to do. One of our commentary here says there is no stud running back, and you know, may and your college hasn't made a stud running back. Maybe the NFL will, based on landing spot. And what's the kid out of Notre Dame that had a
Audric Estime?
He had a disappointing combine. He bounced back at his pro day. I like the way he runs the ball. There's things about him I like. So I think you're getting in dangerous waters when you start targeting and saying, this is my favorite running back, this is my favorite running back. You know, Austin Eckler was no one's favorite running back when he was coming out.
Right.
And look what happened. So it's yeah, that's how I'm playing the running back. And you know, so I really don't know, and so I'm really not talking. Scott?
Yeah, and Scott, this is interesting because, like Farrell kind of alluded to, we don't want to have take lock where we super believe in one of these running backs prior to the NFL draft, and then after the NFL draft, we can't get away from that. Like, we have to understand that this is a rolling process. This is a process that is going to change in the next 3 weeks when we have the NFL draft. I don't know who your number one running back is. Maybe it's Blake Corum, but if it's not, where does Blake Corum rank for you among the rookie rushers?
Yeah, Corum is probably my third best running back at this point, but clearly, first of all, there's no running back that's coming out this year that's as talented as Bijan or Gibbs. That
right.
As far as just their talent, that I think that's a fact pretty much that anybody would agree with. But landing spot is key. If I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan, I'm praying they take the first running back off the board. I'd love them to take Brooks or Benson. If the Cowboys take one of those running backs, that could be your 1-5 right there. It's not the talent, it's the opportunity and the volume. Mm-hmm. So you just have to wait and see. You know, Corum, if Corum ends up on the Chargers, I mean, Gus Edwards is a pretty good goal line back. He's proven that. But Corum is good too. But so I don't really think that would vault him into the number one. I really think if whoever lands in Dallas, you know, there are a couple of other places out there that could be sleeper, like Arizona. I mean, you got James Conner, but if they were to draft a dynamic running back, you know, whoever lands in the best opportunity will be the first pick in the rookie draft, obviously. But I think that person could be the 1-5 or clearly, you know, 1-4 or 1-5. If someone goes somewhere where there's a great opportunity, that's it. Opportunity and volume is worth more than talent.
Scott, let's stay on that Cowboys running back situation here and talk about Jonathan Brooks. Ian Rappaport reported that Brooks is actually visiting with the Cowboys, and he's coming off this ACL tear. The Cowboys, the cupboard is bare. I mean, Hudson Kern-Reeve already said in the chat, if I can bring up this quote that he had with in regards to Rico Dowdle, and I don't think I can, but he basically said Rico Dowdle is not the Cowboys running back this year. Don't draft him. And I think that's the temptation for a lot of people to do that right now. But, you know, the cupboard is kind of bare with free agency running backs, and the Cowboys have a quasi-bare running back room right now with Dowdle leading the way. If Brooks is drafted by the Cowboys in the second round, this is really interesting. Now, there's rumors that Ezekiel Elliott could be coming back for Dallas this year, which I think for Dynasty is kind of it's a non-starter. It doesn't mean a whole lot for us. Scott, what's interesting to me, and you mentioned Trey Benson, if the Cowboys take either Benson or Brooks in the second round, all of a sudden, as you alluded to, 105 in these rookie drafts, right?
Easy.
As a Cowboys fan, who would you rather see Dallas take? Jonathan Brooks, who is coming off the ACL, or Trey Benson? Maybe not the talent that Brooks is, but he's healthy for 2024.
Personally, I'd rather see Brooks because I think he's a better running back. And, you know, you're talking about a 20-year-old kid. You know, he tore his ACL. He's going to be fine. You know, he's going to have the 9 months. Even if he starts a little slow, maybe in September he doesn't. But, you know, look at what Breece Hall did, you know, this year coming back. He started a little slow, but by the end of the year, he was the number one running back in football, as far as dynasty, you know, as far as fantasy football goes. He won people many championships. So I'd rather see Brooks. But like I said, whoever that, I don't think they would take Corum. I don't think he's their kind. But Dallas is pretty famous for taking a pretty good running back and making them a star. You know, Ezekiel Elliott, as you mentioned, which I'm praying they don't bring him back. I love Zeke, have Zeke jersey, but they need a young stud to just, you know, they need to create some enthusiasm on this team. Bringing Zeke Elliott back is not going to create enthusiasm for this season. We need a young stud that is going to be our number one guy. And Dowdle is just a complimentary player. He's definitely not. If he's our starting running back and he 20 carries a game, it's bad. It's very bad.
Well, you know, I'm just thinking about this, guys. When we look back in the history of Jerry Jones drafting running backs, young running backs, right? He had, as you alluded to, Scott, he had Ezekiel Elliott. People will rip on Felix Jones, but Felix Jones had a couple of good years there as well. DeMarco Murray was the other guy I was going to bring up. DeMarco Murray out of Oklahoma.
He was the number one running back one of those seasons in fantasy football. I forget the season, but...
You want to go back to Emmitt Smith? We can go back to Emmitt Smith. And we can go back to, honestly, they didn't draft him, but he did play 3 years with the Cowboys, and that was Darren McFadden, who went to Jerry Jones' alma mater in Arkansas, and had 3 years with the Cowboys as well. So there is something here. Again, I mentioned this at the top of the show. Bills wide receiver, Cowboys running back, Chargers running back, Cowboys running back, maybe number one out of that is what we're watching for here. I want to shift the focus to quarterbacks here, Farrell, and I'll throw this to you first. The Athletic's Bruce Feldman, in his latest piece for his publication, said that a college football coach said Michael Penix has, quote, elite arm talent in the 2024 class. Now, Feldman spoke with plenty of NFL coaches and college coaches. He does this every year. And they're speaking with anonymity, so they know that their name will not go behind these quotes. Regarding the player or the coach that he talked with about Penix, quote, his arm talent is as good as I've ever seen. He can throw every single ball on a rope. You watch them, and there's so much tape where you're just blown away by all the throws he's making in the windows with the touch he has. And he's just so accurate on all these big throws. He also didn't need much room to throw it. The people around him didn't even faze him. Penix says his Feldman said this coach said Penix's ability to manipulate defenses, which is a huge thing in the NFL, is high level stuff. Now he does turn 24 this month, so it's not exactly like he's a 20 or 21 year old kid coming into the NFL. He's not. He's 24. He had the shoulder issues, the ACL issues. He started with Indiana, transferred to Washington. His physicals apparently have checked out okay. Now what's interesting about this to me, Farrell, is we have a BAFO class of quarterbacks this year in May and Williams and Daniels and McCarthy. Penix is probably number five on that list, maybe number six behind Bo Nix. But I wonder if he were to come out last year or if he were to come out next year, Penix would be right up there with the number one overall quarterback. So to me, I think he is being penalized for being in a really good quarterback class. Penix is an interesting guy. Feldman actually said that your Las Vegas Raiders are going to take Michael Penix in this draft right now. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about Penix at the next level as far as super flex drafts go, where you need all the quarterbacks you can get, Farrell.
Yeah. This is a player where you love the athlete and then you wonder about him playing quarterback. And then you go turn on the film of him playing quarterback, and he's fantastic. And he's fantastic with wherever he's been. The only problem with him is I don't think he's ever finished a season. I could be wrong about this last one, but I don't think he's ever played a complete season. But that doesn't have anything to do with style of his play. Maybe that has something to do with just bad luck. And I think anyone that looks at this player knows he is a elite quarterback. Guy that played down in Miami for a few years didn't benefit, you know, was disabled in the first round by an impressive draft class a few years ago. What was his name?
From Miami?
Yeah. I think it's Marino. Yeah.
Oh, you're more than a few years ago.
Yeah, a few years ago. That was more than a few years
ago.
Todd
but, Blackman, you, you know, where it, you're going with this.
History will serve that. You know, you could. So I really like the idea of any team that decides to get in business with this player short-term or long-term. I like him for your super flex. If you're, if you like the landing spot, you could even make a case for him to be in one of these Empire leagues because you've got to win it two years in a row. And he may be the guy that wins it for you in the second year. Maybe not this year, but maybe the second year.
Scott, I want to throw this question to you. And if you want to talk specifically about Penix, please feel free. But I wanted to kind of expand this because I know this is a rarity where we can have you on. Farrell is going to be back next week. You probably will not be next week. Can you talk about the rookie quarterbacks as you see them in the NFL draft for fantasy purposes?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think Caleb Williams, if he's on the Bears, he's going to be surrounded by talent. So he is very talented. So I definitely think he could come in. He could be a top 15 quarterback, I think, even in this coming year. Jaden Daniels, with his rushing ability, could be. But it really landing spot. We know where Caleb Williams is going.
Yeah.
I mean, as far as Penix, I mean, elite arm talent doesn't mean elite quarterback. I don't know. It certainly can't hurt that your quarterback can make every throw, but he still needs to have between here is where you watch Patrick Mahomes. He doesn't throw 80-yard. He didn't throw 80-yard passes for the past 2 years. He's just so smart and he's so mistake free. That's why he's so great. Penix, I think he could be good. I watched him in college. I think he definitely has potential. It's so hard with quarterbacks. You just don't know. But just because he has a great arm doesn't necessarily mean he's going to be a great quarterback. But
I
think he'll go in the first round.
I think Scott, his skill set goes beyond arm.
No, but I'm saying that no matter what, he's going to be a first round pick, I think. Where he will go, we'll see. But he has to show that he can do it in the NFL. College is much different.
Right.
Well, you know, Lamar Jackson proves that if you go at the end of the draft to a very good football team, you can get a little kick up.
Absolutely. So I love Lamar Jackson.
Sure. Scott, let me ask you this. Penix or Nix? Let's throw them in a vacuum right now. Where let's throw a landing spot out of the equation. Which prospect do you like better for the NFL, Penix or Nix?
Probably Penix.
Because of the tools, or what is it about Penix that has you putting him over Bo Nix?
I mean, just from when I watched him in college, I don't know what else to say. I just like him a little better. I don't think he's got, I don't think it's leaps and bounds over, but if you're asking me who I would choose, it would right now would be Penix.
It'd be Penix.
And the landing spot doesn't necessarily mean anything from go. I mean, of course, Lamar landed Baltimore, but I'm saying whoever picks him, he could struggle this first year. Who knows? What will he do year two and three? He can elevate. Look what CJ Stroud did. I mean, the Texans were terrible last year. They literally fought to get the number one pick and blew it. But CJ Stroud went from a 2-win team to a playoff team. So he can, it doesn't matter where you land as a quarterback. If you're that great, you make your team great and you'll be a playoff team very quickly.
I think what's compelling about the Penix versus Nix discussion, and I think we can agree that we're talking about the number 5 versus number 6 in this draft because the other 4 guys are going to go ahead of him. What's compelling to me is Nix could be drafted or Penix could be drafted as a starter in 2024, at least for part of the season at a minimum. And then the other guy might be drafted as a backup. So then what do we do as super flex drafters? Are we going to hang out with Penix when Nix could be a starter if we believe Penix is the better player, even though he's going to be a backup? Are we going to draft Nix above Penix if Nix is drafted as a starter, but we know Penix has the higher up. Like that's the thing that is that's so compelling to me about these quarterbacks this year. And that's not even taken into equation the top four quarterbacks that could be going off the board as 1, 2, 3, or 4. So much to unpack. So much fun to talk about it. And who better to talk about it than a guy who won 6 FFPC Dynasty Leagues last year in Scott Cohen. Scott, listen, man, I really appreciate you coming on. It was short notice tonight. You did great. I learned a lot tonight, and I'm glad to hear your insight tonight. I wish you nothing but the best going forward, and not only in 2024 and beyond. Thank you so much for coming on. Let's do this again sometime. It was so much fun. Good luck in your future fantasy endeavors.
Farrell, I think I'm in a league with you, Farrell. I have to double check that. I'll let you know.
I'll get ready for second place.
Thanks, Scott. Enjoy your weekend, man.
Thanks.
That is Scott Cohen, ladies and gentlemen, the 6-time FFPC Dynasty League champion, six championships in 2023 alone. He is the man, and so glad to have him on the podcast tonight. We do have some emails. We will not have a chance to get to them tonight, but I Farrell, I promise the listeners, if you send us an email, we will get them on the show eventually.
I thought you were a little harsh to our listener, Emma, who was checking in, and I thought this was just a little harsh. And, you know, if I had a fan like that, I would encourage her to enjoy, being part of the podcast.
Well, as you know, Emma has been on the show before, Farrell, when she was in the background of my camera shot a couple of years ago when we were talking to a Dynasty player.
I remember she asked you, she waddled up to the computer and asked you if this was soccer. And I saw that as bad parenting right away. I there were some things already that had me concerned.
Well, you said Robbie Fetcher's daughters would never confuse soccer with football.
No.
Yeah. So, yeah, I I've tried. Now, here's the thing, Farrell. She is not, she's been in gymnastics. She's done some other stuff, but her first team sport, you guessed it, will be soccer starting in just a couple of weeks. So I don't know what I can do. All I can do is support her.
That's fine. It's good she plays it.
Yes.
Good she plays it.
And it's good.
Stay on those bars and the horse and everything else you do in gymnastics. NIL can quite reward, gymnasts who make their way to college.
Yeah, she could be the next Livy Dunn for all I know. And Livy Dunn will never have to. I mean, the fact that all the money that she's made at LSU over the last 4 years, that's kind of what I envision for my kids to be able to do that.
Good college playing, Balky. I like that.
Yes. Yeah, if we can make it happen. We will always make it happen with the Kentucky Fantasy Football State Championship. KFFSC.com is where to sign up to compete against players like me, players like former guests of this show, for sure. Farrell, thank you so much for hopping aboard tonight. I bid you adieu. Have a great weekend, my friend. We'll do this again next Friday.
Thank you, buddy.
That is Farrell Elliott, the definitive commissioner of fantasy football. Check out the Kentucky Fantasy Football State Championship at KFFSC.com. Of course, at KFFSC official on the X and at J Farrell Elliott on the X. I want to thank Scott Cohen, Farrell Elliott, the FFPC, Rob Bryce, of course, each and every one of you for hanging out and watching us at this early time on Friday night tonight. We will return at 10 p.m. Eastern time next Friday, and we will have on 6-time FFPC Dynasty League champion Drew Jennings to hop aboard to talk everything that's going on with the rookies, everything that's going on with the veterans, a dynasty outlook from Drew Jennings next week. In case you missed it, watch last night's High Stakes Fantasy Football Show on the Better Sports Network on any of the BSN socials, as well as the FFPC socials. We had Stacy Perez from Fantasy and Frames. If you know the Kentucky Fantasy Football State Championship, you know Stacy Perez. A lot of great stuff from her. Of course, the host of the host and founder of the Women in Fantasy Football Best Ball Challenge presented by Fantasy and Frames. A lot of good stuff there and a lot of good stuff going forward there. In case you missed it, you want to find out more, go to those FFPC socials to watch it again. Tuesday night, we had the April 2024 edition of the RotoViz High Stakes Lowdown featuring Stu Keen, an 8-time Dynasty League champion, who talked a lot about how he has managed his teams to success, how he sustains that success, and how he's planning on winning a lot more Dynasty Leagues in 2024. Check that out at any of the FFPC socials at your convenience. As Farrell alluded to, Empire Leagues are here in the FFPC. Go to myffpc.com, sign up for those Empire Leagues, a Dynasty fantasy football twist. And of course, Dynasty Orphans, Dynasty Startups available at myffpc.com as well. Time is running out to play in the Never Too Early FFPC Best Ball Tournaments, both the Classic and Superflex, nearly 85% full. So make sure you're signing up for those, taking your shot at a $25,000 or a $10,000 grand prize, regardless of whether they're filled or not. And they're probably going to fill before April 25th, which is the cutoff. You have less than 3 weeks to play in this. Make sure you're signing up for that at myffpc.com. And draft for $1 million in April. Who would have thought? The Fantasy Pros Championship is live at myffpc.com. You can plunk down your $350 and play for $1 million grand prize, $6 million prize pool, and make sure you're getting in now because of that early bird discount. Remember, if you draft, if you sign up and draft right now, you will get a free $35 FFPC team credit to your account, and we'll do that up to three times for you. So make sure you're registering now and then drafting right now, and you'll get those free credits applied to your account. Drafts are available in the Fantasy Pros Championship and the Never Too Early Best Ball Tournament, 30-second, 60-second, 2-hour, and 6-hour clock. So whatever your schedule is, you can play in those three tournaments over at myffpc.com. Remember to like this video, subscribe to the channel, and comment on the video. Share it with your friends and enemies. Get notified every time we go live. Thank you so much for watching, everybody. Certainly appreciate it. Streaming, downloading, whatever you're doing, your weekend officially starts now.
This has been another episode of the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour presented by MyFFPC.com. It was broadcast live and was watched around the world. Balky and Farrell will be back next week with more analysis, more interviews, and more advice from guests much smarter than they are. Thanks for watching, and we'll talk with you again next week.
You know, one of the things I always say on this show, and I don't want to make it seem too salesy, but I will say many of the dynasty players we've had on, many of the best ball players we had on, will attribute their success to drafting in January, drafting in February, drafting in March, drafting in April. Even if you look at the rookies alone, all these players, once they have a real spot in the NFL, once Trey Benson goes to the Cowboys, once Braylon Allen goes to the Bills, once Malik Nabers goes to the Giants, all these guys' ADPs will go up. If you want to get in now, and then you don't have to worry about drafting these guys, because instead of drafting them in the 7th or 8th round, you already have 13th and 14th round shares of them. Best piece of advice I can give you. So many people who have come on the show will tell you the same as well. So register for those tournaments, get your dynasty teams and your Empire League teams over at myffpc.com. Sales pitch done. We will talk with you next Thursday on the High Stakes Fantasy Football Show when we are joined by Thor Nystrom from Fantasy Pros, as well as Bob Harris from Football Guys. And then next Friday, as well as I just mentioned, Drew Jennings, the FFPC, 6-time FFPC dynasty winner. A lot of stuff going on at the FFPC. Join in the fun. It's going to be great. It's going to be a great 2024 season as well. Thanks for watching, everybody. Talk to you soon.